Welcome back to our Camp Chef for Soul Play Camp. It's Ann Baker of Nourish Holistic Nutrition. And we are loving the yummy and nutritious, delicious recipes that you're giving us for Soul Play Camp. And also all this great food for thought, sharing your wisdom. Because we're living in some different times now when it comes to our food. So welcome back, Ann. And we're going to jump in and talk about some of the yucky stuff that's going on with our food today. What do you say, Ann? Can you give us some wisdom about that?
Sure. For children and adults both, sometimes we're not connecting the fact that something that, you know, we're eating and our behavior, and, you know, there's a lot of children that have attention issues. They may have emotional upset and temper issues. All children do it sometimes, but we can help that out and lessen that type of behavior and encourage, more healthy behavior by paying attention to what people are eating and what you're feeding your children.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things people don't think about is the type of oils that are used. We need certain oils in our body because we can't manufacture them. To help us with a lot of processes, they're called essential fatty acids. And many times when you're dining out or you're picking up something on the go with your kids, those foods are cooked in or oils are used to prepare them that are not very healthy oils. And really, they're not the right oils at all for our bodies, bodies to use.
Right. So before you give us the magic answers, Soul Play Campers, let's get our brains going and let's think of what would be good oils and what would be bad oils. I'm going to guess that good ones, well, I've just kind of recently discovered coconut oil, which I love. So I'm going to say good ones would be coconut oil, olive oil, and maybe like almond oil and stuff like that. And I would say probably the bad common ones would be more like canola, maybe? I don't know. Okay, so what do you guys think? Got your answers? And now let's hear from our camp chef. All right, so tell us, Ann, tell us first, what are the bad ones that are probably pretty prevalent out there?
Right, so the ones that are not very healthy, and I really steer clear of, and makes it tough to do when you dine out or when you pick up a product that's pre-prepared because of the cost factor, okay? These are the cheap oils. Mm-hmm. They are canola oil, any kind of vegetable oil like corn oil.
Ah.
Not a good oil. Very, very poor oil. Soybean oil, terrible oil. And unfortunately, those are the three top oils.
Wow.
Used in all restaurants, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say.
Right.
Not just fast food restaurants, but even, a little bit better chain restaurants, and even a lot of high-end restaurants are still using these oils because they're inexpensive.
Okay.
Or fried food is a whole nother magilla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were right. Coconut oil is very good. You want to get the extra virgin coconut oil.
Okay.
And you don't need a lot of it. Actually, butter from grass-fed cows or ghee, which is clarified butter, is actually a healthful food, believe it or not.
Ah.
Olive oil is very good. It's, best, honestly, to take as much of that as you can unheated, so using it as a salad dressing or to drizzle on vegetables and things like that.
Right.
It's a good way to retain the healthful properties of it. And flaxseed oil is very good, but you don't cook with flaxseed oil.
Okay.
This, again, is only to be used uncooked, and it's good to add to smoothies or, drizzle on top of vegetables, using salad dressings. Those are real healthful oils. Plus, a special oil that's called EPA DHA. So DHA is from fish only. So that's why taking a fish supplement, even for children, is not a bad idea.
What are those letters again? I'm sorry, what are those letters again?
DHA.
B
as in dog, H as in Harry, A as in Ann.
DHA. Oh, right. DHA oils. And those would be found naturally in fish, like salmon and that sort of thing?
Maybe it's not an all wild caught fish,
mm-hmm.
higher concentrations, especially the cold water fishes. And they're also in some seaweed and some algae. So they're in, you know, some sea animals. So any shellfish as well too.
Okay.
It would be in. And for kids that have issues with concentration and focus, or even adults, maybe they haven't been diagnosed with ADHD or anything like that, but they're just having issues, getting them on a good quality child fish oil is very, very helpful. It really, really helps for helping them concentrate and focus.
Super. So great oils and fish oils are super good for us. You mentioned, what is it? Is it ghee or ghee? Because I like butter.
Clarified butter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like butter, I got to say. But all butter is not created equal, right?
Right. Ideally, what you want is, you know, organic butter. And if you can get grass-fed, is absolutely the best.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. And this is related to the oil issue.
Uh-huh.
Because the animal, what the animal eats goes into the animal, right?
Mm, absolutely.
So going back before, before the 50s, it started in the 1950s in this country.
Mm-hmm.
All animals were pasture-raised, which meant they ate what they naturally ate, which was grasses, you know, in
right.
the field.
Sure.
Well, the commercial food industry decided that they could take a cow, a calf, a baby calf, which is, you know, like 60 or 70 pounds when they're born, to, like, you know, 1,500 pounds in, you know, a year and a half, 18 months. So they could do that by giving them corn, wheat, and soy. Now, the problem is, well, there's a number of problems with it, but those oils or those grains are very inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
They're higher in omega-6,
mm-hmm.
and now they're genetically altered. They're genetically modified.
Wow,
and
yeah.
What happens is we eat the animals that are commercially raised,
mm-hmm.
and we are getting too many of the omega-6s and not enough of the omega-3s. And we're also getting a lot of genetically modified substances that are passing into our bodies, too.
Right.
There's a double whammy problem. So if you can buy pasture-raised, grass-fed animal products, those are much superior and much more healthful for us.
Absolutely. Well, I have to break in with a little cow story because I grew up with cows, and I would name them and talk to them and all that. And one winter, my friend Buttercup ended up on the table, and I went into a food strike where I wouldn't eat anything that came on the table that was resembled a cow. I wasn't going to eat it, and it took me a lot of years to unravel from that. Because in my heart, I'm a vegetarian, but my body seems to do better with you know, some animal protein, or at least I haven't figured out exactly how to get my protein without animal protein. So recently, I live in the country, and there's a guy locally who raises, my dad still raises cows, but his just sort of go away, and I never know where they land, kind of a thing. But this guy locally has been you know, raising cattle, grass-fed natural cow, and has it processed. And anyway, so I've been buying that and not having it very frequently, but just it's amazing the difference. And I remember the first couple of times I had it, I was shocked how much it tasted kind of like grass, that the hamburger tasted kind of like grass. Because again, what you're saying, that's what the cow ate and that's what we're eating. So, being a kid and having my friend Buttercup on the table was very, you know, hard for me. But at the same time, it helped me to learn that, you know, what we eat does live. It lived somewhere, you know, before it came to us, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think that what you're saying, you know, more people are starting to know, have that awareness that they're not doing very nice things to our food. And so when you're talking about that process with the cows, that also impacts our milk, right?
Absolutely, it does. I'm, you know, going to stick my neck out here and say, I'm one of these people that doesn't think cow's milk is for humans, it's for baby cows.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not one of these advocates of drinking cow's milk. A lot of things, one thing that people don't realize about cow's milk is, well, there's a number of things, but the cow has to think it's got babies to feed to produce the milk.
Mm.
So the problem with that is then how does it think it's pregnant? Well, it has to do with hormones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those hormones then are, you know, going to be going into the milk products that we're drinking. And they're now starting to find that there's some issues with that, with, you know, too many hormones too soon in life for children.
Right.
That is a problem. So I'm not real crazy about that.
Well, we started this segment talking about the bad oils and the good oils. So if milk is not a good source of nutrition and protein, we are used to drinking milk. So do you advocate, at one point I drank a lot of soy milk and then I heard that was bad. And, you know, like it's always what you know, people have all these different things that go on. So So if you're working with someone and you're helping advise them for their body and you're not advising cow's milk, what would you advise instead?
Well, you know, when you have a newborn baby, you have an infant, the very best milk is mother's milk.
Absolutely.
And let me just blow your mind here with something that I just learned that I just think, I just want to shout it out. This is so amazing and important. Did you know that they now have statistics that show the likelihood of children who are breastfed developing a lot of more serious issues with their immune system is severely reduced, so it's protective throughout their whole life. Something that is so incredible that I did not know. I mean, you know that, you know, the immunity passes from the mother to the infant, the nursing, but that is like a really big foundational piece of their immune strength for their entire life.
Oh, that's fabulous. That gives me
really
angel kisses.
Important.
Yes, that gives me angel kisses. It also helps me feel great about my time with Jeremiah. He was breastfed for a long time. The doctor kept saying, oh, he'll wean himself. No. I said, no, I think he'll be a teenager before that happens. He was 2 years and 3 months. So, but it was, you know, I really think that if you can, at least the first few months of life, that is so great. But I hadn't heard that about the immune system for life. That really gives me angel kisses. That's fabulous. You know, what a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift. So then, going forward,
I am not an advocate of cereals. They're very processed.
Right.
That's what most people think of, you know, using milk for.
Yeah.
In baking and things like that you might want to use a milk. You know, the nut milk, coconut milk is excellent. Almond milk. There's rice milk. There's hemp milk. There's many good milks. Soy milk I would not use. I would not use soy at all. Has a lot of problems besides the fact that it's highly genetically modified, altered. It's also very disruptive to our endocrine system, which is all our glands.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very harmful to the thyroid.
Oh.
Soy would not give soy. Soy picks up the receptor sites, estrogen receptor sites on our body and fits in there and creates issues with balance of our hormones. Just, you know, got to remember that our bodies are all about being in balance. And usually when some sort of problems arise, it's because of some excess or deficiency somewhere, some imbalance. So it's important, you know, that there is too much of a good thing. But soy is definitely not a good thing. So stay away from soy.
Okay. Well, I had heard that before, a little late, because I actually did give it to Jeremiah when he was little, and I went through a phase of having it too. But, you know, we do the best we can with what we know when we know it. So that's why we have you, Ann Baker, our wonderful Soul Place chef, with all of your wisdom and food tidbits. So we've learned so much from you just in the last few minutes about oils and about the processing of of our food and cows in particular. And now even just the whole thing with soy. It's very enlightening and it's power, you know? Knowledge is power.
Food knowledge is power. So as a general rule, you know, watch buying things in boxes and packages. Mm. So when you see a laundry list of ingredients and you really have no idea what they are, that should be a real light bulb. You really don't want to eat that. You don't want to feed that to your children. Maybe we can at some point talk about, you know, how to get back in the kitchen and cook a few more simple meals instead of relying on grab-and-go takeout.
Perfect.
That's really the crux of health right now.
Yes.
That's the problem for families.
Yes, let's do that. And I heard something great, and I wish I could remember who came up with this wisdom. I thought it was you. Maybe it was. They said, if you see a bunch of ingredients and you don't know what they are, your body doesn't know what they are either.
Exactly.
You know?
Body doesn't know. It,
right.
You don't want to, you know, little bodies are even more strongly impacted by, you know, synthetic ingredients than our adult bodies are.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much. I think we will have to revisit how do we replace the box, the mac and cheese, the top ramen, all those
right.
quick and easy and nutritionally void kind of things that that we can find ourselves or our children eating. All right. Thank you, Soul Play Camp Chef Ann Baker. And we look forward to joining you again. And also make sure that you guys see Ann in action walking us through some great food recipes. She's here at the Soul Play Camp sharing her recipes with sweet potato and zucchini latkes, Mexican lasagna, and baked apple pancakes. Yum, yum. And she is the queen of gluten-free. So for all of you who are either living gluten-free or aspiring to live gluten-free, we have a wonderful resource in our Camp Chef Ann Baker. And her book, Season It Well, the outrageously delicious gluten-free recipe collection for the discerning palate. Thanks, Anne. Until next time.